Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 16. 1 Corinthians, chapter 16. We'll read verses 15 through 21 together. We'll read this passage responsibly. 1 Corinthians, chapter 16, verses 15 through 21. I beseech you, brethren, ye know the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. That ye submit yourselves unto such, and to every one that helpeth with us and laboreth. I am glad of the coming of Stephanas and Fortunatus and Achaicus, for that which was lacking on your part they have supplied. For they have refreshed my spirit and yours. Therefore acknowledge ye them that are such. The churches of Asia salute you. Aquila and Priscilla salute you much in the Lord with the church that is in their house. All the brethren greet you. Greet ye one another with an holy kiss. And let's finish on verse 21 together. Ready? The salutation of me, Paul, with mine own hand. And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your presence being here in this place today. Father, thank you that the Holy Spirit has freedom to be here. Now fill our preacher with your power. There are literally hundreds of people in this room. There's no way that one person could meet all those needs unless that person was yielded to you. Now, Father, please work through our preacher, meet our needs so that we could go out and reach others in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.
This morning, I'm going to take a portion of a passage of scripture that you read earlier. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse number 20, all the brethren greet you. All the brethren greet you. Paul writes writes actually to a church called the Church of Corinth. In verse 17 and 18, Paul says, now, there are a couple of folks that join me, Stephanas and Fortunatus, and they refreshed my spirit, Paul says. But as he writes this letter, he uses the term, all the brethren greet you, meaning we want to express our interest in you. If he said, all the brethren greet thee, he means somebody's sending their love. Somebody's interested in you. Somebody wants to show you that they enjoy their fellowship with you. We want to welcome you to our fellowship, and we want to share fellowship together. If someone welcomes you to something, that means that they're inviting you to become a part of what they are. And Paul said there's some folks that want to send their greetings, and they're a part of your ministry. They want to be a part of your ministry. We welcome you into our spiritual lives. We welcome you into our church. Now, you know, the entire church, this church, everybody in it, we're to be like one great big welcoming committee. We're to be a welcoming committee. You see, we're saved. We're born again. This is God's church. And the whole world is full of people out there that need what we have. They need what we have. We have something special here. And we're to be like a great, big welcoming committee. Now, we have some people that help us with that. I'll tell you, I'm a little leery sometimes of having official greeters. And I'll tell you why. You get a couple greeters at one door, and then at another door, and then at another door. Somehow we get the idea that we have 6 greeters at the church, and the other 800 people are not to greet. But that's not true. That's not true. We are to welcome people. The entire congregation should welcome people into our church. Now, we have a little ministry here. We call it the Shenandoah Hospitality Ministry. Mrs. Marcy Smith oversees it. And what they do is when we have guests, we have a little group of ladies. They make up some homemade goodies. And when we have guests from our community that come to see us, we give those guests a little homemade treat, and it's our way of being hospitable and saying to them, we're sure glad that you came today. And we do that 52 weeks out of the year. And let me say to the ladies that help with that, there's never a week that it's not important. Never, never, never a week that it's not important. Mrs. Brinklow helped me get that thing started, and she's gotten very busy with other duties, and we pass it on. But it's a big thing. The ladies that help with it are Marcy Smith and Emily McLean, Natasha Hall, Melissa Williamson, Shanda Everhart, and Lori Fleming. Ladies, let me tell you something. That's big. That's an important thing. Why? We want to be hospitable. We want people to know when they come and visit us that they're welcome here. I have to tell you, Mrs. Owens is a Walmart fanatic. I mean, if there's ever a takeover at Walmart, I think they're going to rename it Sherry Mart. And she loves Walmart. It's one of her favorite places to go. Let me tell you what I like about Walmart. One of my favorite parts of going to Walmart, let me tell you one of my favorite parts what it is not. It's spending money. Buying things that we already have because they're a different color now. Things like that. But let me tell you one of the most delightful things for me when I go to Walmart. It's a man that sits in a wheelchair at the front door of Walmart that says, "Welcome to Walmart. Welcome to Walmart. Welcome to Walmart." He may not have had all the privileges in life that you and I have. He's stuck in a wheelchair. He may not think quite as clearly as you and I. But you know something? They found something for him to do, and he is delightful to me. It is delightful for me to go there and see him say, "Welcome to Walmart." You know something? If he can sit in that wheelchair and say, "Welcome to Walmart," I got a hunch you could welcome somebody to our church. I've got that hunch. We have greeters that work at the doors of our church. Brother Kenneth helps to oversee them. He and I'm constantly saying, make sure they're in their place. Make sure they're there on time. Make sure they're doing their job. It is very important to me. Very important to me. All those greeters. We have greeters both inside and out. We have Brother Brining and Brother Rogers, Brother and Mrs. Randy Summers, and Brother and Mrs. Levi Hall, Brother Montgomery, and Brother Brinklow, and Brother and Mrs. Tom Tennis, and Brother Lopez, Brother Mel Bush, the Louders and the Ramseys, Brother Peterson and the Browns, and Michelle Hartman. You say, who's she? She's the one that you can hear from a long way off. We have Brother Malat and the Gillums and the Ken Davises and Brother and Mrs. Berman. What are they? They are greeters. Why? I want people to know that they're welcome here at the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church. Hey, it's a big deal to me. Greeters have to be here early. They stay a little while after Sunday school's already started for the latecomers. Then they get out of their Sunday school class a few minutes early to get back in place to greet people coming in after church, and they're friendly, and they're to say good morning. You say, "Brother Owens, I've been in your church for 30 minutes. I've had my hand shaken more times in the last 30 minutes than I have my whole life." Good. Good. You walk through this, it's like when we were a kid, if you did wrong, we used to form what we called a paddling machine. You know what a paddling machine is? All the boys would spread their legs, and somebody had to get down, and they had to crawl on their knees through the paddling machine, and one guy would get after another, and when he'd come through, you'd swat him on the backside, and we'd have a paddling machine. Here, you come in down here at this door, it's like a handshaking machine. I mean, you shake, and you shake, and you shake, and you shake, and everybody's doing the Elvis thing. We're all shaking as we come through there. But why? Because Paul said, "All the brethren greet thee." You know, we ought to be like a great big welcoming committee around here. You go over here to our, what I call our outbuildings, the grade school, the high school, and the gymnasium. We have three fine people that work as hosts and hostesses over there. They're there to shake hands and say good morning and direct people toward their Sunday school classes. Brother Crabb, Brother Ord, and Mrs. Yates. You say, "Brother Crabb, are you calling that guy something?" No, that's his name. That's his real last name. He's not an old grouch. Now, maybe he is sometimes. I'll have to ask his wife. But that's his name. He works over there. I'll tell you what, he's over there, so if you're an old crab coming in, he shakes your hand to cheer you up a little bit. We have parking lot attendants, people that work out here in our parking lot. Now, they're not just out there for the fun of it. Brother Dula, Brother MacArthur, Brother Yates, Brother Ron Ossiehelty helps with it sometimes. But they're out there to help. They're out there to greet the people and to be friendly. You know something? I want our building and our grounds to say, "You're welcome here. Come on in. Come on in." My wife and I, we'll be driving up the road, and she'll look at a house, and she'll see how the yard is decorated and the landscaping and the colors and the flowers. She say, "Honey, that house says, you're welcome here. Come on in." We're the kind of people you could just say howdy with. You know what? That's what I want for our church. I want our church to be the kind of place where it says, you're welcome here. I've got this hunch. You know, our grounds, you'll see here in just a few weeks, Brother Butch Berman and his crew of people will get to working out there, and you'll see the flowers coming up everywhere. I want people to come on the property and say, this is delightful. This is refreshing. That's what we want. We're one great, big, welcoming committee. Every born-again Christian, your spirit, your attitude, everything that you are, you ought to be like a welcoming committee saying, come on to Jesus. Come on to Jesus. Come on to our church. Come on in here. We ought to be like a big welcoming committee. Oh, there's a story in the Bible of how the great man by the name of Stephen was stoned to death. Do you know something? When he entered heaven, he had a welcoming committee. Jesus Christ was standing there to welcome him. The same thing happened when Elijah was translated and Enoch was translated. I believe God was there to welcome them. Now, I'm going to give you something today, and this is going to help you with my sermon, all right? So, ushers, I want you to pass these out. I have everybody an official welcoming committee sticker that you can stick on today, all right? This is going to help you understand. Ushers work very, very quickly, if you will. This thing, it's got a couple smiley faces on it. You say, why? Because you're supposed to smile as a part of the welcoming committee. Now, you take a sticker there, and if you want, you can pull the little back off of it. If you feel like you need to stick it on your forehead, you can. Or you can, ladies, I did this. This won't tear up your silk top. It's not a pin. It's a sticker. You can put that on there, and the choir, you get one, go ahead and pull your sticker off. I want you to put it on. I want you to actually put that thing on. Hey, Phil, I said put it on. Don't stick it in your pocket, boy. I'm not your mom. You're going to obey me, bud. What you do, you stick that right there. You can stick it in the middle, and you put that where everybody can see it. Why? Because you are becoming an official part of the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church Welcoming Committee. And everybody, if you guys not have any, then get up and go down there and get one. Don't sit here. Go make something happen, fellas. We'll get you a welcoming committee. But boy, there's some of you. It's obvious you can't do this. You're not going to shake hands with any of my visitors. You're not going to be friendly. Are we giving those out up in the balcony? Ushers, I had over 600 of them printed, so ushers, move quickly. Get them to the balcony. I'm sorry, balcony. I would have gotten you cared for. I thought we were all set up and organized here. Now, how many of you have extra stickers out there? Anybody got extra stickers? Okay, Brother Butts has one over here. Somebody grab that. Brother Ron, there we go. That's super. Get those to the balcony upstairs. Give me a hustler up there in the balcony. If you have to climb the front of the banister to get up there, you can do it. Now you got your sticker on. You want to know why? You're an official part of the welcoming committee at the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church. You see, that's what it's all about. You know, us Christians, we should be welcoming people to the Lord and welcoming people to the things of the Lord. And so, as you wear that sticker, now your sticker probably won't be worth much to you next week. And so, I wouldn't put it through the wash with your dirty shirt there. It's not going to work. But that sticker right there ought to remind you of what you are. Did you know this? Did you know that you are a representative of Jesus Christ? Do you realize that everywhere you go, you are a representative of the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church? Everywhere you go, people look at you. Do you know there are people that determine what they think about this church by looking at you? There are people that they decide what they think about me by the way you live. Hey, they decide what they believe about you by the way I live. I hope I'm not an embarrassment. I hope I do right. But we are to be a great, big, welcoming committee. You say, what kind of things should we welcome? I'm glad you asked. Let me tell you. You should welcome the Holy Spirit of God into your life and into our church. Yeah, you should. Do you welcome the Holy Spirit to work in your life? Acts 19:2 says this. He said unto them, have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. You know something? When you got born again, the Holy Spirit of God moved into your life. But have you welcomed him since he came in? If Brother Ewan were the Holy Spirit of God, stand up here for me, Brother Ewan. If this were the Holy Spirit of God, every one of you ought to go to the Holy Spirit of God and say, you are welcome. Shake my hand, dumb bunny. I didn't mean to wake you up there, Brother Ewan. You ought to go to the Holy Spirit of God and say, welcome, Holy Spirit. Come on into my life. Now sit down, Holy Spirit. Hey, Have you welcomed the Holy Spirit to dominate your life? Have you welcomed the Holy Spirit to hey, we ought to welcome the Holy Spirit here in our church. I say this, welcome, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Be a part of my church service. Be a part of what's going on around here. Have you welcomed Him? Have you welcomed Him today? Do you realize something? You will not get near as much out of the church service today if you expect me to do all the work. I have invited the Holy Spirit to be with me while I speak, but have you invited the Holy Spirit to be with you while you listen? You ought to say, welcome, Holy Spirit. Welcome into my heart. Welcome into my mind. There are some of you that say, I want the Holy Spirit messing with me. He's liable to want to change my life. He's liable to want to rearrange something in me. He lives within you. But, hey, some of you, if you're born again, the Holy Spirit's inside you. If you're not born again, He is not inside you. But if you're born again, the Holy Spirit's in there. But some of you, you virtually have Him locked away in some little closet crammed in there. You know, you've rejected Him like a stepchild might be rejected by the wrong kind of a parent. He's in there, but you don't want Him to work in your life. He's in there. Listen, at men's prayer meeting, I'll promise you, you ever pray with me in men's prayer meeting, you'll hear me say, oh, Holy Spirit of God, come. Come into our church. I actually pray this prayer. So, Brother Dula, all the men that help you on that parking lot out there, I'll assure you, Brother Ray and Brother Ron and all the guys that help out there, let me tell you something. Your preacher prayed that the Holy Spirit of God uses you in the parking lot. In the parking lot. Now, it'd be sad if that was your job. It's not my job to work the parking lot. That would be your job, but you wouldn't ask the Holy Spirit of God to use you out there. The Holy Spirit of God is something special. He wants to use your life. I ask God that the Holy Spirit of God would help in the parking lots. I ask God, hey, boys, look up here. Hey, look up here. I'm preaching. Sit up. You need to be quiet. And if we need somebody to go over and sit with them, we will. You pay attention right this way. Told you I would. I ask that God work in this place in the Holy Spirit on the grounds. I actually pray, Holy Spirit of God, I want you to come and be all across the grounds, all the acreage that we own here. I want the Holy Spirit of God to be at liberty here. I ask God to come and be in the services here. I ask God to come and be in the music here. I say to the Holy Spirit of God, you're welcome here. Come on. I'm a part of the welcoming committee. Are you? Are you a part of the welcoming committee of the Holy Spirit of God to come and be a part of our church? You see, it is the Holy Spirit of God that changes dry churches into those that have been doused in the water of the Word. It is the Holy Spirit of God that changes churches from being cold to being hot for Jesus Christ. It's the Holy Spirit of God that changes boring churches into exciting ones. It's the Holy Spirit of God that takes a phony religious congregation and puts them on their feet and they become holy and dedicated to God. But are you a part of the welcoming committee? Welcome Him into your heart. Welcome Him into your mind. Welcome Him into your everyday life. Welcome Him into your ministry. What is your ministry around here? I was talking to Brother Montgomery earlier, and he does a lot of the cooking around here. He's a chef, and he loves cooking up grub. He cooked almost 60 men yesterday at our men's prayer meeting in the morning, and Brother Montgomery helped with a bunch of that cooking. I said, Brother Montgomery, thank you so much for your cooking. I appreciate you helping yesterday. He said, that's my ministry. Let me tell you something. Even the ministry, Brother Montgomery, of cooking up the grub ought to be done in the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Don't do it in the flesh. You get God involved in, hey, look, as you're stirring the mashed potatoes, you say, oh God, use these potatoes to strengthen the people to serve you better. Everything we do ought to gravitate around God and the book of God and the things of God and let the Holy Spirit of God use you. Welcome Him into your soul winning. It'll go better that way. Welcome Him into, when you get to inviting visitors, let me tell you what you do. You say, Holy Spirit of God, use me as I invite visitors into our church. Go ahead of me and prepare their hearts. It'll go better that way. Welcome Him into the choir. Let me tell you something, choir. You're getting better and things are improving and we're watching God use you. But I'll tell you, I don't want a choir that just gets up here and makes a lot of noise. I want the Holy Ghost of God on my choir. I want the choir members to walk with God and to say, oh God, use me as I sing today. Use our song. Melt the hearts and do something great. That's what I want. Our choir will grow. You'll see it expand some. All you new choir members, let me tell you something. I don't care if you got a good voice. Let me see you walk with God. Now, it'll help us if you have a good voice, though. Welcome him. Every person that ever sings a special number, you pick up these microphones up here. Whether you're a solo or a duet or a trio or whatever it is, you're to be a part of the church welcoming committee, and you're to welcome the Holy Spirit of God to be a part. You sing up here. You sing in some quartet. Before you ever sing, you should have spent some time with God and said, "Oh God, I'm trying not to uplift me. I'm uplifting you. I want to uplift Jesus. I want to uplift the things of God. Holy Spirit of God, rest upon me as I sing." We're to be a part of the welcoming committee. Welcome him. Welcome him. Every person that plays an instrument in this church, whether you play this piano, or you play that organ, or you get up here with a cello or a flute or whatever it is, if you play any instrument in this church, you ought to be surrendered to the Spirit of God. And as you play that organ, you ladies that play this organ right here, let me tell you something. As you play, you make sure that you have surrendered yourself to the Spirit of God. We're not just trying to find somebody that can push the pedals and push the keys. We're looking for somebody that wants the Spirit of God to work in their life. You can find churches everywhere that are dead and dry and doing nothing for God. They're not happy. They're not on fire. They're not doing something great for God. And I'll tell you why. Everybody just does what they do in their own power. I say to the Holy Spirit of God, you are welcome at the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church. You're welcome in the parking lot. You're welcome in the music. You are welcome in the restrooms. You're welcome in the nurseries. You are welcome over there in that gymnasium. I don't want a bunch of athletes that just play in the flesh. I want athletes that are filled with the Spirit of God. He said, well, that's odd. It's odd to you because you don't understand the filling of the Holy Spirit of God. That's what it's really all about. The Spirit of God. We should all do all that we do in the Spirit of God. If you can't do it in the Spirit of God, you shouldn't be doing it. And so I say to the Holy Spirit of God, Holy Spirit, you're welcome here. The church welcoming committee says, come on, you're welcome here. Some of you, let me tell you what some of you need to do with your Sunday school class. It's time for you to welcome the Holy Spirit of God in there. Welcome the Holy Spirit of God. Secondly, we should welcome visitors. We should. We should welcome visitors. We should shake their hands. If Brother Bush were a visitor, you ought to go to every visitor you can and shake their hand and say, welcome. We're glad you're here. Romans 15:7 says, wherefore receive ye one another, as Christ also received us unto the glory of God. God will welcome you when you get to heaven, and we ought to welcome people that come to our church. Thank God we have visitors. Thank God we have visitors in our church. A bunch of them don't. A bunch of churches don't ever have visitors. We have visitors around here constantly. So what, you're a part of the welcoming committee. You've got to get to those visitors and say, hi, I'm glad you're here. You need to walk up to them and say, my name is Jeff Owens. I'm the pastor here. What's your name?
Craig Bush.
I am so glad you're here. Thank you for coming today. Boy, let me introduce you to someone. This is Rick Young. We hired Rick Young because we couldn't find anybody else. And he works for us here. This is Craig Bush. He's a visitor today. Thanks for being here. Amen. That's what you're supposed to do. We are to welcome the Holy Spirit. I'll tell you something. If you would welcome the Holy Spirit into your life, then it wouldn't bother you so much to welcome a human being. You wouldn't be afraid of another human being if you were not afraid of God in your life. God loves human beings. God enjoys welcoming human beings up close to Him. And so you get the Holy Spirit of God welcomed into your life, and then you go out and you welcome other people. You get their name. You tell that visitor your name. Introduce them to others. There are a bunch of visitors here today. Hey, some of you that are visitors today, would you raise your hand for just a second? Let me look at you. Look at that. Look at all those visitors. If you're anywhere near somebody with their hand up, go shake their hand real quick for me, will you? Someone, go shake their hand. They're a visitor. Say hi. How you doing? Glad to have you. Oh, yeah, you got it. I think you can handle it. Oh, fantastic. Look at that. There's the ministry in motion. I mean, something's happening around here. Now, all of you that just greeted visitors, was that so hard? That wasn't hard. Choir, it looked like we even had some dumb bunnies that went to do it. You know what? You say, which one? I can't tell you which one's a dumb bunny. Hey, we should welcome visitors. You and some of you need to practice it. When they come in, don't just stare at them with that outer space look. You know, beam us up, Scotty. No intelligent form of life here, including myself. When visitors sit near you, folks, I beg you, introduce them to us. it helps them. It really does help them. Serve them. You know, everybody here, when visitors come into church, you need to be prepared to say, if I can help you with something, I'd be glad to. They might feel comfortable enough to say, could you show me where the ladies' restroom is? You say, why? That's where ladies spend half their life. And they never go by themselves. So you need to be prepared to help them. Let them know where the nurseries are. You know something, folks? We only have one chance to make a good first impression. You parking lot greeters, let me tell you something. You're some of the first people that folks see out here. You come clean shaven. You look decent. You make sure you got you a tie on. You greet them, whatever you do. Boy, I tell you what, I don't think our parking lot attendants do this, but I don't need you guys out there with a big stick, you know, swinging around saying, hey, lady, I got no park there. You chuck. I'm a parking lot attendant over there. And that's our lady parking lot attendants. Oh, no. We're part of the welcoming committee. We're a part of the greeting committee. When you welcome first-time visitors, we got to be friendly and first class. Hey, bring them in. Show them. Show them where the nurseries are. Explain our nursery policy. If you're just kind and polite and you say, we don't bring little ones into the auditorium, that way they won't interrupt the service. They'll have a better time in their nursery anyway. That's what we tell them. If you handle it politely and kindly. Now, this is what you don't do. You don't say, better take that brat to the nursery. I'm telling you. That ain't going to work. But you're kind and you're polite. Set with them in church. That might help. Help them feel like they know somebody. Here, we're a part of the welcoming committee. You say, well, we've got greeters. No, you're an official greeter as of right now. You got your greeter sticker. You are a part of the welcoming committee, and you need to welcome the Holy Spirit of God into your life. Then you need to welcome visitors into the church. I'll tell you something else. We ought to welcome the backslidden into our church. There are all sorts of people out there that are away from God. They should not have any fear from us. They may have some fear that's created by the devil, but not fear created by you and I. The devil may try to fake them out. The devil may try to push them away from the church. But us people right here in the church, born again Christians, we're not to make them feel uncomfortable. Galatians 6:1 says, brethren, if any man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou be also tempted or also be tempted. You know something? Let's see. Backslidden. Yeah, Brother Nash, come on. If Brother Nash were backslidden, you're supposed to say, well, hey, Brother Nash, I'm glad to see you. God bless you. Thanks for being here. How's your habit? Thank you. He's a wife beater, you know. Not really. She can whip him. Huh? Hey, listen. When somebody that's been away from God parks their car out here, I don't need you to say, well, I got to tell somebody. You're not going to believe who's in the parking lot. You don't gossip. It's not, guess who's back. I've got some I've been trying to get to come back because some of your attitudes, they won't come back. My heart is broken. Somebody gets away from God, we ought to greet them back. Don't make them feel awkward. Give them a chance. You know, greet them sincerely. Let me tell you something, folks. This verse here, listen to it real carefully. Brethren, that's anybody that's saved. If any man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual. You see, the ones that are not taking them back, the ones that are hindering them from coming back, obviously are not spiritual people. Some of you need to get spiritual so some folks can come back to church where they belong. It says, brethren, if any man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of meekness. You be meek. You be patient. You be slow. Considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. You know what it means? You better watch out what kind of attitude you have toward those that have slipped away and are living in sin. Because if you've got an arrogant, nasty attitude, you may just be the next one that goes out. You better stop and realize that if it were not for the mercy and the grace of God, you'd be backslidden too. The backslidden are just as saved as you are. They may not be as spiritual, but we're all saved the same amount. You either saved or you ain't. He said, that's not good English. Yeah, but it's good preaching. And the truth is, they're saved and they deserve to come back, and we need to restore them and help them. I'll tell you something. God welcomes you back from your private moments of backsliding, doesn't He? Huh? How many of you, you've hidden your nastiness? And the only one that knew was God. But when you came back, He was there to greet you and said, I'll give you a second chance, or a third chance, or a fourth chance, or a fifth chance. I don't want a bunch of arrogant hypocrites in my church. We are all a bunch of sinners saved by grace. And if it were not for God, we'd all be a mess. I'm not saying I'm happy when people go into sin, but I'm telling you this. I don't care how backslidden they are. When I see them coming down the path like the prodigal son, they're welcome to come on home. And all of us ought to be like a welcoming committee. They need love. They need acceptance. They need acceptance. Again, we're welcoming them to come back. I'm not asking for their sin. I'm asking that we have a chance to win them. See, we're to be a welcoming committee. We're to be a welcoming. You ought to be a welcoming committee in regard to truth that is preached. You should welcome the truth being preached. Brother Josh, stand up. If this were truth, every one of us ought to embrace truth and say, boy, I'll tell you what, I love truth. Welcome truth. Welcome into my life. Welcome into my church. Welcome into my family. Hey, truth, come on in. Come on in and become a part, truth. Hey, truth, I want to go everywhere with you. Hey, can I show you around the church a little bit, truth? I'm glad to have you. Hey, we want truth in Sunday school. And we want truth in the preaching. And we want truth in the music. And we want truth in the life. And we want truth in the Bible, and we want truth in our Christian school. Come on, truth. Come on, welcome. Are you like that? Thank you. Or you say, whoa, wait a minute, not that one. Out. That truth right there, out. You're not welcome here. I don't like that truth. I'd have to change my life. I'd have to change me if that truth is preached here. Well, this isn't like a smorgasbord. We're going to preach all the truth. You just have to put your plate out and we'll slap it on there. Truth. We have to shake hands with truth. The Bible says in Jeremiah 9:20, yet hear the word of the Lord, O ye women, and let your ear receive the word of His mouth. You have to welcome truth. When truth is preached, you have to say, amen. You men, you women, you say, amen. You know, we don't need any women shouting. But in your heart, you ought to shout. Ladies, I'll tell you how some of you ladies ought to feel. You ought to say, I wish a woman could stand up and shout. I wish they could. In your heart, you almost ought to hold yourself down. You should. You should almost hold yourself down and say, I'd just like to get up and say, that's it, preacher, come on. Now, you can't. But you, if you could, I wish you'd want to. You ought to welcome truth. Let's say amen to the truth. Don't be critical of it. We ought to welcome it into our life. We preach the Bible here. We preach the King James Bible, as the men sang about. You ought to welcome that. We preach full-time Christianity here. Full-time. At church, at home, at school, at home. Full-time Christianity. We preach a hell that's hot. You ought to welcome that. That's what the Bible says. We preach a heaven that's real. You ought to welcome that. That's what the Bible says. We preach honesty, because that's what the Bible says. We preach separation from the world. That's what the Bible says. We preach responsibility to God for all your actions. Why? That's what the Bible says. We preach the truth, and you ought to say, I want truth. Everybody here ought to say, I want truth in my life. I want the truth of God in my life. I want the truth of God preached from the pulpit. I want the truth of God sang in the songs that we sing here. And Brother Nash will tell you, we go over every song with a fine-tooth comb to make sure it is doctrinally pure in content. We don't sing it because it just makes us want to dance. Oh, that's a good one! No, we sing it because it is doctrinally pure in content and it upholds the holiness of God. The truth. I want the truth. Now, We don't want, we're not a welcoming committee for disunity, because that's the opposite of truth. We're not a welcoming committee for the contemporary Christianity. We're the old time way. We don't welcome gossip, and we don't welcome disloyalty, and we don't welcome, hey, Brother Montgomery, help me have a seat there. We don't welcome the, we believe in the old time way. Everybody look right at me, if you will. these are special gals, and they go to Mrs. Mongan's Sunday school class, and we'll need a little direction for a second. We don't welcome people that would, we don't welcome the corruption of the right things. No, no. We welcome the old time religion, and you ought to welcome it. Yes, sir, that's what I want. That's what I've been looking for. That's what I want. You see, we're a great big welcoming committee. We should welcome the Holy Spirit into our life. We should welcome visitors into our church. We should welcome the backslidden come back. We should welcome the preaching of the truth. Hey, we should welcome spiritual growth in people. We should welcome it. I mean, if Brother Young, stand up there for a second. If this is spiritual growth, I ought to go over to spiritual growth and say, hey, you're welcome around here. Come on, we want you to grow. You know what? You don't have to be a finished product to come here. You just come and we're gonna work with you. We're gonna teach you. We're gonna let you take some baby steps and grow a little and grow a little. Brother Bush will tell you this. Thank you, Brother Young. The other day we had one of our new families come, and I'm telling you, they got on fire for God. I won't tell you who they are. I don't want to embarrass them. They got on fire for God. They started asking questions. I said, Brother Bush, now you slow down answering all those questions. They're asking questions they don't want the answer to. I mean, they're asking questions. What about this? What's the Bible say about that? Teach me about this. Teach me about that. I said, now, Brother Bush, you be careful. He kept teaching them and teaching them. You know something? Everything he fed them, they ate. Everything from the Bible said what the Bible says, and I'm changing. I was so careful that I did not want them to grow too fast. But I'll tell you something. What a refreshing young couple. The Bible says it. They're doing it. No questions asked. They've not been in the church so long, they've heard it all, you know. Y'all know what I mean. Same old, same old. We'll be out in 20 minutes. Won't have to think about this anymore. But people need a chance to grow. And you ought to wonder. And we ought to encourage growth. We ought to encourage. The Bible says in Proverbs 19:20, hear counsel and receive instruction that thou mayest be wise in the latter end. Now that counsel will help someone to be wise in the latter end. What's it talking about? Growth. Counsel will help you later to be wiser. The instruction will help you to be wiser later. God is saying, we got to give people a chance to grow. Don't discourage those who are growing in the Lord and changing their lives. Be careful. Be tender with these young ones. There's some of you been in church for 20 years. You see someone and they do something and you say, they shouldn't be doing that. You watch how you treat them. They're just learning. You've not always been perfect like you are now. And let them grow. Give them a little space. Don't expect everybody to be perfect overnight. You know something? I like growth. Somebody goes to giving up their cigarettes. Why you should smoke 20 cigarettes a day? They're growing if they go to 19. They're growing if they go down to 18. They're growing if they go down to 17. Do you know something? If it took somebody 20 days to give it up, that's all right with me. I just want them to give it up. Say, why? Because I love you. It'll ruin you. Ruin your health. So he said, I was smoking 20 a day, Brother Owens. I'm down to 19. Praise God. I'm proud of you. Keep it up. Brother Owens, I'm down to 18. Praise God. Keep it up. You're doing good. You're growing. I'm down to 17. Oh, praise God. You're growing. I'm down to 16. All right. Hey, keep it going. I'm down to... You say, now, Brother Owens, shouldn't they just give it all up at once? Yeah, but I'll tell you something. If they don't, you just give me growth. You just give me growth. And for you Pharisees, you can just stick it in your ear. People have to grow. They have to have a chance to grow. Boy, the growing process that I've been through. I used to be a size 29 waist. I'm not going to tell you anything else about that illustration. Let them grow. We're all growing. Welcome growth into the church. Hey, show people to grow by example. You know, some of you, we started out on a tricycle. Then we moved up to a bicycle with training wheels. Then we got a regular bike without training wheels. Maybe you got a moped, then to a mini bike. Then to a Suzuki. No, that's a rice chopper. Then to a Harley. You got to what a bike really is. Then, there come a day when you couldn't ride your Harley anymore and you got an exercise bike. And if it takes its natural course, you're going back to the trike. You ever seen those big tricycles that you can wear? Or wear? Ride. enjoy it when our young Christians make decisions about changes in their life instead of saying, oh, I can't believe he told everybody they gave that up. Usually the decisions you don't like are the ones that you ought to be changing, and you won't because you're not willing to grow in that area. Hey, we should be a welcoming committee. We should welcome numerical growth in our church. Why? Acts 2:41, it says, then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. God actually told us 3,000 people joined the church in one day. He didn't have to give us the numbers. I think he knew what he was doing. Numerical growth. Brother Ewan, stand up. If the church is expanding, you ought to walk up and say, God bless you, expansion. I love that. I'm glad the church is growing. I'm glad the church is growing. You say, people are not numbers. Oh, they're not? Well, you just told me something I didn't know. People are not numbers? Wow. I think I know that. I think I know people are not numbers. He is not number 4. This is not number 6. He's not number 9. You're right. This is not Sesame Street. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 5. 5 yellow duckies. How many? 5. We're to reach everybody we can, folks. And we're welcome our new bus routes. The Harnages started a new bus route out in Inwood. I think they had 18 people on their new bus route. Woo! I'm excited about that. 18! Hey, there are a bunch of boys and girls that came to church for the very first time, and they're welcome here. They're welcome here. Brother McLean has a new bus route. We ought to be excited about it. We ought to be excited when there are more men getting saved, and more women getting saved, and more children getting saved, and more teenagers getting saved, and more families being reached, and more lives being salvaged, and more people that we get to preach the Word of God to. You say, well, I want to be in a small church. Is this what you mean? You want a small number of people saved? Small number of men saved? Small number of women saved? God never intended churches to be small. He intended to do all they could. Now, if a church is doing all it can and it's small, God's happy. But if a church is small because everybody says, well, we just don't want those bus kids. They're not right with God. We want a small number of people to preach the gospel to? You want a small number of lives changed? You want a small number of children saved and a small number of families salvaged? What's wrong with you? What's wrong with you? The church is people. That's what it's all about. Oh, I just want a small number of people. You better double check the Great Commission. We're to reach the whole world, and I plan to grab my handful, whatever I can reach, and take them to heaven with me. Some of you need to listen to the tape that I preached a Sunday night or two ago called I Will Not Use My People to Build My Work, but I Will Use My Work to Build My People. Churches die because the people in the church have no personal outreach. We ought to be a welcoming committee to the growth of our church and a welcoming committee. Hey, we ought to be a welcoming committee for the use of the altar. Matthew 11:28, the Bible says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. That is God saying, come on. And one of the places you can meet God is at the altar. Thank God our altar is used. Thank God often our altar is full. There are other churches that people don't even know how to get up, walk down the aisle, and go to the altar. They never do it. It's never done. The altar is a place of decision. The altar is a place of personal sacrifice. The altar is a place where you meet God. The altar is a place where you fall on your face and you say, God, Holy Spirit of God, use me. You are welcome in my life. I believe there are hundreds of people in this building. You have the Holy Spirit in you, but you have never welcomed Him. You've never said, you're welcome. I'm glad you're here. Now run with the ball in my life. Bunch of you. He's just there, locked in a closet. You need to welcome Him. You use the altar to do so. The altar is a place of humility. It's a place where you kneel. The altar is a place where others will see you being humble before your God. The altar is for all ages. It's for all sexes. It's for all spiritual levels. Somehow people get the idea, you only use the altar when you're backslidden. No, sometimes you use the altar because you're not backslidden. Our children come and they use the altar often. I tell the parents, be very careful hindering them. You've got all these young people, they want to use the altar. Thank God. I can take you to a million churches where the young people sit all the way in the back and laugh and mock during the preaching and play, and they never use the altar. We'll regret the day we stop the kids from coming to God. In fact, they might get so dry they'll be like you and never use it. I'd hate to see that happen, wouldn't you? The altar is for the lost. The altar is for the balcony. The altar is for choir members. Don't you ever let the fact that you sit back there keep you from kneeling right here. You can leave my choir at any given moment. I remember one night, we preached on the Holy Spirit of God here, and God got a hold of this place in a remarkable way. I lost my entire choir. You all remember that night? They all left and came down here. We're on our faces getting right with God. That altar is bigger than the song being sung. It's big stuff. The altar is for leaders and for staff and for visitors and the backslidden. You get this? Dr. Smith, we've been talking to them about the pews, and we're trying to get pews for in our auditorium. The company from which we are ordering our pews, we got to talking about the setup of our auditorium. They said, well, we'll handle that. I said, no, I'll handle that. They said, well, why are your pews going to be so far away from the front? I said, we use the altar. He said, what? I said, yeah, the people leave their seats and come down here. We have to have room for hundreds of people to kneel when they're coming close to God. I had to tell them how distant to put the distance in between the pews. You want to know why? The average church has the people so locked in to their pew, they can't step out. There's no room to walk. You know, let me tell you something. The great thing about the room to walk is not so you can walk in. It's so you can walk out and use the altar. We didn't try to make it convenient so you had room to set yourself down. We tried to make it convenient so you could get yourself up and walk the aisle and get on your face before God and get yourself right with God. And this is what Christianity used to be all about. And it's welcome here. It's welcome here. I welcome you to the altar. I welcome you. Has your family ever seen you at the altar? I welcome you. If you're a new family in this church, let me say this and I'm finished. If you're a new family in our church, you're welcome here. I just wrote a few names down. I think those from the Malat family that are back with us, I'll tell you what, you folks are welcome here. God bless you. You're somebody in my book. Think of the Hueys. Thank you for being here. The Harnages. Thank you, folks. God bless you. Hey, Brother Chris Edwards and his family coming soon. You're welcome here. Brother Taylor. God bless you, Brother Taylor. You're welcome here. Hey. Everybody here, you've been a member of our church for a year or less. Would you raise your hand for just a second? Look at all these people. Good night. Wow. You can put your hands down. Let me tell you something. Brother Owens welcomes you. So I haven't been here for years. That's all right. That's all right. You only have to join one time to be as much a member as somebody that's been here for 40 years. You just got to get saved, and you're just as saved as everybody else. Oh, yeah. You're welcome here. Welcome aboard. Thanks for coming. We're glad to have you. Here's something. We're going to have to welcome all this with a good attitude. I'm very sorry, folks. As our church grows, I realize the parking lot will get full. We're just going to have to welcome the growth with the best attitude we can. I'm working on the pews. God knows my heart. You're going to have to welcome the chairs for now. You're going to have to welcome the fact that our church is so packed out, we can't find any place to put anybody. I'm getting ready to tear down walls and build things. We're doing it as fast as we can, I promise you. You say, well, Brother Owens, some of these new kids coming in on the buses, they're messing up some of the flowers out there on the landscaping. We'll get new flowers. Amen, Brother Bush? We'll just get some new flowers. They're welcome here. They've got to learn, too. They've got to learn. We're going to have to welcome some of the struggles that come along with the church that God has chosen to bless. Let me tell you something today. God's welcome here. He's welcome here. The Holy Spirit of God is welcome. You're welcome. Folks, He's been here. I don't think we better change anything that's been happening, huh? Why change a winning lineup? You're welcome. Just give us more of the same. Just give us more of the same. You got a sticker on? You're all? Every head bowed, every eye closed.